On this Wednesday morning, 65 degrees in studio now once again on our monthly visit. We have two of the chefs from My Chef Lara. We have Chef Amy and Norbert. We have also Chef Laura from Home Plant Advantage. And for the first time, we have yet another person who you've probably heard talk about on this program from Stock Culinary Goods up on the east side of Providence, Jan Dane. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
First off, welcome to Jan.
Thank you.
To have you, and nice to finally see you in person. I know these guys talk about Stock Culinary Goods every single month. They've been talking about Stock for the last little over 2 years now, about two and a half years.
I tell you,
the place to be up on the east side, right in the heart of the Providence, is got to be Hope Street, of course. As I said to you, Jan, earlier, I used to work up there at the old Cinerama Theater. First of all, tell us a little background on who Jan is and what the Stock has to offer.
Sure, thanks. I'm actually just an avid home cook, so when I sit here among these true professionals, I'm always a little humbled, but I've been cooking since I was a young kid. We were not raised with food. My mom didn't cook. She was a full-time, she had a full-time job, and I just became very interested in pursuing that for myself, so it's something I've always done with great passion. And then as I was going through my career and my adulthood and having children, I was realizing that it just seems that everything we do in our lives, we end up in the kitchen. If we're having a party, if we're having, you know, working, playing with our kids, doing, you know, rainy day activities, it was always in the kitchen. So that, coupled with the fact that I was also a writer, writing about food, kind of pushed me in the direction of going more and more that way without kind of the culinary track or the restaurant track. I ended up somehow scoring a job as the director of culinary education at the Ocean House, which is a Relais and Chateau resort in Watch Hill. Super fancy, super fun. And I was also the food forager there. So my entree into knowing all the chefs in Rhode Island, all the food producers, was pretty thorough. I kind of know everybody, which is fun. So with that, I decided to bring all those, the passion, the connections, everything together, and open a store devoted to cooking. It's amazing how my image of what that was going to be and what it actually is has changed as life is. You know, you kind of have this, I had me puttering around a little apron behind the counter, you know, and instead, I mean, it's a business, and it's really fun, and we really do pride ourselves on being your neighborhood kitchen store. That is really what we want to be. So we have a lot of stuff, but in addition to that, we are real sincere about wanting to buy American when we can, about supporting our local artists and artisans, and about not cluttering our lives. We're not big gadget people. I brought a bunch of interesting stuff today, but you know, we're like, hey, we'd much rather have you have a great knife than have you have a pineapple core.
Yeah.
So to that end, you know, Chef Norbert and My Chef Lara has been great because they come and teach knife skills. That is so much more valuable than a banana keeper. So that's kind of our, you know, to the extent that we have a philosophy, that's it.
So it sounds like that you know, you're a little bit of the Julia Chow and the Galloping Gourmet all rolled into one. You're like,
I'll take it.
Yeah, like, it's like how many people remember Graham Kerr doing that? You know, like, I mean, I grew up with that show. But yeah, and of course, as you said, that you know, they have the knife sharpening skills and everything else that's going on. In fact, the reason that I love having you here now, we can actually find out how those classes really go. I know now I know how to cut tomatoes with the serrated knife. Now I don't have to worry about a kitchen knife or like. I do things professionally now because of these people, and also get to drink wine in a wine glass, than a regular paper cup, which is easier now. But you know, and you've been out there how long now?
We've been there for 4 years.
4 years.
Yeah.
Life is good there up on the east side, huh?
It's awesome. You know, the Hope Street that you described, the one that you worked in, has really changed, but it's very much maintained its independent culture. So you go, there's, you know, the only chain we have on Hope Street is CVS, well, and Citizens and Bank of America, but whatever. As far as stores and restaurants, it's all independent. It's a great little district.
Yeah, and as you know, being up in that area, as you said, it has changed a lot. So a lot of the people moving here and moving there, wherever. But it's still a tight-knit community as well. You know, you've got a major hospital that's right down the road. Yeah. You've got 95 right at the bottom of the hill, and you can get to the city just by going down to Hope Street, you know, within a matter of seconds, and go by the old Silver Top Diner on the other end, if you go up the other end of East Avenue, in Pawtucket there. But a lot of good things happening, I understand there.
Yeah, it's funny. I'm missing a Hope Street Merchants Association meeting this morning to be here. But we meet pretty much every week year-round to plan events and coordinate parties and festivals on our street, as well as to just kind of promote ourselves as being the true character of Providence, you know. Malls have their place, but neighborhood districts like ours are what make a city distinct.
Right, exactly. Also with us is Chef Amy Norbert and Chef Laura. Of course, Laura McDougall also running Home Plate Advantage. Hey there.
Hi.
Things going well so far at your company?
Things are going very well.
Anything new coming up?
I have October 13th. I'm doing another cooking class at Dover Sherbourne Adult Ed, 6:30 in the evening. I'm doing Thai street food, so that should be a lot of fun. I always have a good time with my students there. But if you're interested, just go to their website. It's Dover Sherbourne Adult Ed, I believe. If you Google that, it'll come up. I never remember the exact website.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
Kind of a funky website. And then just go to their class schedule, and you'll be able to see it. And then in November, still waiting on a date, but I'm going to be doing, working with farmer Sam Billings of Crystal Spring Farm in Plainville.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And we're going to do a farm-to-table dinner at the bookstore down in the center of an unlikely story.
Yeah.
The bookstore in the center of Plainville. So I had attended that last year. We were new to the area, and it was fabulous. And I'm like, this is so cool. Opened my mouth and said, Sam, you know, when's the next dinner? I'd love to work with you. And next you know, here I am. I'm working with them. But I'm really excited about it. I think it's going to be a great dinner. And using, of course, a lot of the local produce. I'm very big on that as well. And we'll see where it ends up.
You will, that's for
sure. So stay tuned.
Yeah, exactly. and Amy's is here. It's not, you know, we've seen Amy a few times here. How's things in Amy's world these days?
Very good.
Yeah. Anything new in Amy's world? I mean, I know that you're a professional chef as well, but one of your specialties, a lot from our listeners, you like to do a lot of the baked goods as well.
This is true. We're going to be doing some muffins later today for a customer, who has a few dietary concerns. So that'll be going on today in the heat, which will be great. But, you know, that's what happens.
You'll be with each other, so you'll be working.
We'll get it done, and hopefully they'll be happy. Yeah. And these always smells really nice when you bring things in and open the box.
What type of muffins are you looking at?
Can't remember the actual flavor.
It's a caramel flavored muffin.
Oh, okay.
However, no sugar in there.
Okay.
Absolutely no sugar.
Mm-hmm.
And it is gluten-free. And it is a very specialized muffin. Honestly, it is a very, very specialized muffin.
It actually
muffin.
Smells pretty good.
I'm sure it
I'm
does.
Laura made the last batch, so I guess they turned out all right. And
it did.
Well, you guys are still here, so it's got to be. They must be.
Yeah, so when I test them today, I'll see how they are. But they smelled really good. So
love a good muffin. What's your favorite?
Muffins. I just like something with fruit in it, like just a blueberry or something like that with a fruit where you can just break it open and there's all
blueberry
this
or cranberry. My favorite.
Cranberry is great too, especially in a mix with something else.
You're not kidding. And Norbert's here as well.
Oh my God! Yeah.
And what's new in Norbert's life these days?
Right now, I'm only thinking from one day to the next.
Mm-hmm.
If I think too far ahead, my head is exploding.
Explode, yeah.
It will explode. So yesterday we had a welfare in Boston. We were there and we were talking about the omelet in the jar, the salad in the jar, and the soup in the jar. We have now three things in a jar. And how to prepare it. It was a very, very good success. Today we have a radio show. After that, we have the muffin thing. Tomorrow we have a demo in Smithfield. about grilling. And then, of course, the weekend, we have the Oktoberfest coming up.
Yeah,
the Oktoberfest for approximately 80 to 90 people. And as a German, I'm very proud to host the Oktoberfest with a lot of sausage and a lot of beer. And it will be fun. So right now, let's talk after the Oktoberfest again. Right now.
I know down the line in November you'll be doing the soup event, right?
Soup night will come up, definitely. That is our staple. Second Saturday in November, we have the soup night. I opened up the house. And
I've already put that on my calendar 2 months ago.
Put it in the calendar.
I put it on my calendar last November.
Yeah, you did.
After my wife and I went over there and like, we got to go back again next year. So Carol said to me not too long ago, she says, when is the soup event over at Norbert's place? I say, second Saturday of November.
It's going to be.
What's going on, that's for sure.
So you bring a friend, you bring a bowl, and you bring a spoon. Because I don't want to deal with the wash-up.
No, why not? And you always have all types of great soups. Last year you had about four or five soups.
Always four soups. Yeah. And the winner of last year will be also part of this year's soup contest, and that is the shrimp and corn chowder. We have another one which we want to introduce, which is a vegetarian soup, which is the baby kale and lentil soup. Very nice, very nice. And last weekend, actually, I prepared my mother's vegetable soup. Started with beef stock, created beef stock from bone marrow bones. So it's not a vegetable soup as per se, because it starts with a beef stock.
Right.
But it is very, very, very tasty. So, and maybe the Canadian cheddar cheese soup once again.
Nice.
So we have four soups, and we make 3 to 4 gallons of each. And then,
we get a lot of us take them home and
there are leftovers.
Only
there
were leftovers. There were some left.
There were some leftovers.
I think you gave me one of everything last year.
Not a lot.
Especially that corn chowder.
Yeah, the corn chowder is really good.
Yeah,
yes.
You can't complain, that's for sure. Have you done beef stew in the past?
Yes, we had a Hungarian goulash soup, which is very similar to the
beef. Did you have some of that last year?
We didn't have the
goulash. Which one did you have?
Which one did we have last year?
I'm trying to remember which one soup that was, they were all delicious, but one of them was that type.
Yeah.
Whatever it was.
Maybe it was the Hungarian goulash.
Probably was, that was delicious.
Yeah.
All right, Chef Amy, Chef Norbert from My Chef Lara. We have Jan Dane, the owner of Stock Culinary Goods on Hope Street in the Providence area, and Chef Laura from Home Plate Advantage in studio until 9 o'clock, talking about some fine things, including some interesting culinary gadgets from Stock Culinary Goods. We'll talk about that and a lot more coming your way in just a couple of moments.
Public Library on October 6th at 6:30 p.m. for a personalized virtual tour of the cemeteries of Norton. Brenda Sullivan will present a 90-minute lecture on cemetery art, history, and symbolism in a virtual tour called Welcome to the Graveyard. The tour will take attendees from colonial burial grounds into 21st century locations, examining the evolution of cemeteries and gravestones. Brenda's presentation will display photographs of all of Norton's historic cemeteries. Call the library at 508-285-0265 for more information about this event.
So you see, son, good manners are important. Should I go through it again?
Yes.
Yes, please.
Yes, please.
Exactly. Always say please, thank you, you're welcome, and excuse me. Sit up straight, hold doors open, don't speak with your mouth full, keep your elbows off the table. Share your things, play nice, and generally treat others the way you'd like to be treated. Got it?
Got it.
And stop picking your nose.
Most parenting is hard to do in just 2 minutes. But 2 minutes twice a day, making sure they brush their teeth, is easier. And it could help save them from a lifetime of tooth pain. Visit 2min2x.org to find out more. A message from the Partnership for Healthy Mouths, Healthy Lives, and the Ag Council.
Popular historian and speaker Dr. Gary Highlander will be back this December at Richards Memorial Library in North Attleboro for a 3-part series on John Marshall and the Supreme Court. The series will take place on 3 consecutive Thursdays, December 1st, 8th, and 15th at 7 o'clock p.m. Justice John Marshall was the longest-serving Chief Justice and a member of the court for over 30 years. Many of his decisions are still having an effect today. Dr. Highlander's talks are popular and fill up fast, so register early. To register, email mholmes@salesinc.org.
All right, back with us here on this Wednesday morning. 66 degrees in studio with us. Of course, we have our professionals. So we've got Jan Dane, who, of course, as you may know, you've heard us talk about, or the professionals talk about, Stock Culinary Goods up on the east side of Providence, up on Hope Street. We've got some things going on. You've got some gadgets, I understand. Some show and tell.
I brought a bag of tricks. It's true. Yes.
Now she's Captain Kangaroo bringing bag of tricks now with us.
I'm going to stick with Julia Child.
Okay,
like that
that's
best.
Good. Yeah.
Silly rabbit.
Yeah,
yeah. Let me just, shall I pull my bag up now?
Okay, sure.
And I have some too.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Okay.
Ooh, we brought some gadgets.
It's a show and tell off.
It is.
All right. Shall I open?
Surprisingly, as you guys know, you know, down the line we'll have an app for our television here for the camera, but we're not on TV yet, but that will be coming soon. So,
okay.
So all right.
Shall I describe it?
Sure.
What we have here is a green recycled glass vessel with a long spout. It looks like, I guess you would say, a carafe of some kind. It almost looks like an oversized cruet.
Right.
Who knows what it is? Of course, Norbert knows.
Oh, Norbert looks like it. And if Norbert says something with drug paraphernalia, you're wrong.
Well, and yes, believe me. We've gotten that question.
Okay. Well, it's probably, it's a carafe that you sip, right? You would, was like a sip taster for certain wines?
Close. Yeah, pretty close. It's called and I'm going to play with my Spanish here. It's a porrón. Porrón.
Okay.
Trying to roll the R there. A porrón, if you can't roll the R. And it is, it's actually descended from a calfskin. So back in the old days when the wandering, you know, Basque people would need hydration, they would have a calfskin, they would hold it above their mouth, and they would drink out of it, you know, from a distance. They evolved, they were ceramic, now they're commonly glass. And you usually drink a fizzy light wine out of it, like a cava type situation, and you hold it above your mouth and you actually pour it into your mouth from a distance, kind of, I wish you could see me gesturing, but kind of pulling it away and putting it towards your mouth to direct the stream into your mouth.
It looks like the ones that sometimes you would get at these steakhouses, you know, or the or in Spanish restaurants, or like when we're going to Cancun next month, you know, they usually put one with tequila right over your head or something like that.
Same premise.
Yeah,
exactly. Now, it's messy stuff unless you're good at it. So we actually, one of our very first classes at Stock was we had a Perón drinking class, and I put garbage bags on everybody.
Okay.
But yeah, they're fun, and we had a lot of demand when we first opened, and now I think we've actually satisfied every Perón drinker in Providence region, because
I'm sure you did.
Now they just kind of hang around.
But it's also, if you're not using it, which you should use it, but if you're not using it, it does make a great something on your mantle or something like that.
Yeah, you know? It looks cool. It's not really very functional. People sometimes think you could repurpose it as a cruet or something.
Yeah.
It's really not functional because you have to hold it in such a way that it's not a great.
It's a cool item
use
though,
for
really
that. Yeah, they're fun.
A conversational piece.
Yeah, it really is.
Second, it's a great party thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I had it. We hosted at one time a party also at my house, and we had the Porón contest, and we prefer to do it outside.
Yeah.
We prefer to do it outside, and it is messy,
but it's also fun.
Yeah.
It's messy and fun.
A lot of fun.
Yeah.
So that's thing one.
Okay.
That's thing one. Okay. Now
it sounds like Dr. Seuss now. It's thing one and two. Yeah.
I give one to Dominic. Yeah.
Uh-oh.
What is that? This is,
This looks like something at the bottom of a colander. Looks like something that the steam or something, the water actually would come up.
Do describe it. What might that be?
All right. We're looking at a metal object. It looks like a half of a colander, half of a round colander with a lot of holes in the middle of it. A couple of sides here that you can probably put on the side of a pan or something, or a bowl. Or it's, which way do you go? I mean, it's kind of, you can use it both ways or not?
You can.
You
use
can.
It upside down. But,
okay.
You can use your car upside down.
It's true.
It's not nice.
Exactly. But it's probably this way, the way I'm holding it, right?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. Yes, probably not. That's, or it's this way. Well, why don't you tell us what this is actually is?
This is a device to do authentic German Spätzle.
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 Okay.
And you put a dough on top of it, and then you put it over steaming water, mm-hmm. and then you scrape it through the holes mm-hmm. so that the dough pieces fall into the water.
Okay.
And that is the Spätzle board.
Similar to...
Not a flying saucer.
No, it's not a flying... Kind of, when you mention that, it's kind of similar, but a little different. When my grandfather used to make homemade ravioli, a lasagna, he actually made it. The end of it was all wood, and it was also metal, steel... It kind of looked like guitar strings, and my grandfather used to call it a guitar.
That's what they're called.
Okay, exactly, and that's exactly how we used to. He would put out the pasta over it, and then make the homemade pasta just like that. And in his Italian, he would, you know, the broken English, he would call it a guitar.
Yeah.
So I said, "Oh, he's making a guitar again." So he says he's making the pasta with the guitar. So yeah. So and those still. How are they sold nowadays, Jane?
You know, we've never sold them because it's a little bit more of a specialty item, and it's a bit they can be quite expensive. But he's, mm-hmm. I mean, it is a guitar. That mm-hmm. is what it. I mean, he wasn't breaking his English. He was using his Italian, mm-hmm. and that is what they are. And I don't know. Do you guys make them? Make that pasta that way?
No.
Have you ever?
No.
Yeah, it's an amazing process. I mean, mm-hmm. it's definitely, if you can get a house made guitar pasta, go for it.
Yeah, that's exactly what it looked like.
As bad as my Spanish.
So that's what that item is. And I know you do have a lot more bag of tricks.
Yeah, but now it's Jen's
okay.
turn.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
Jen has got some others.
So I'm holding in my hand a beechwood handle that just fits snugly in my hand. And there's a extending from that is a gold-toned... Jeez, this is really hard.
It's like the bottom of a sneaker.
Yeah, it kind of looks like the bottom of a sneaker. Yeah. It looks like it's got four tines, basically, mm-hmm. and they are notched, and it looks kind of, I don't know, perforated, or how would you call that? Crenellated. Crenellated. Okay. Like if you can imagine like a castle top with the up, down, up, down,
oh,
up,
sure,
down.
Yeah.
So,
spires on it.
Yeah, so it is a tool that one would use in one's kitchen, and who here knows what it is?
It's not a, I wonder if you would shred something probably with it. Oh, not really.
Pretty good, yeah. It's actually quite coarse. It's actually quite abrasive on the bottom on these little points that stick out. Mm-hmm. So this is Japanese. This is actually a Japanese fish scaler.
Okay.
So I get this from Korin, which is an amazing Japanese trading company in New York City. And they're great for getting, you know, your scales off your fish. It's just a really nice version of it. You'll see some other ones out there, but these ones are actually like pretty as an object and quite functional.
And they can also be used. You can put them in the drawers, but you can also hang them on, someplace as well in your
kitchen.
Absolutely,
and it'll look great.
Yeah.
You know, put it next to your marrow spoon and just have people guess what all your things are.
Yeah, why not? Yeah. Well, like we'll do show and tell in the kitchen. You know, like, but we don't use it. We just like to show. We like to show what things are.
All right. Am I up again, Norbert, or are you
this,
up?
This look.
Oh, maybe Amy has something too,
well,
right?
I put my things in there.
Oh, you put your things in there. So those are the easy ones.
Well, let's go with this one.
It's a flat triangle
with a bunch of serrated edges on it.
Okay.
It's like a saw.
Yeah, it looks like
a saw. With different sized teeth.
Boy, do you use that in pastry?
You do.
Okay.
Because of the sticker which says you use it in pastry.
Hey, is that what? Not even see it.
For use in pastry only?
Oh, just in pastry only, right, exactly. I have no idea what that is. This is good. I love this. This is great. I love this.
You have bigger and smaller.
Yeah, so they're different sized teeth. Yeah. On each edge.
Okay.
So this is a cake decorating.
Oh, okay.
And if you ever see the sides when people spin
yes.
the cake, these
that's what
give a little decorative grooves on the side. Mm-hmm. Generally, that's how this is used.
And what would what's the technical term for it?
You know, I don't actually know.
Mm-hmm. We call them combs.
Cones.
Combs.
Combs.
Okay.
Combs.
Oh, combs. Okay.
Yeah. And you can see
right.
there was. I mean, we
actually,
know,
I think in culinary school, they were like, we can comb the side of that. And,
yeah.
And, you know, I didn't realize that was the actual technical term. Of it.
But, yeah, you see a lot of people, you know, professionals on television, you know, cake decorating and stuff like that. They'll use that and they'll, you know, they'll, as you said, move
yeah,
the,
you spin yeah. the, yeah, spin, spin if you the have cake. A spinning cake stand, then you can do that.
That's got to be, is this something that you've used in the past?
A few times. Mm-hmm. I passed cake decorating. Mm-hmm. It was not my forte.
Okay.
I loved the baking classes, and I aced my bread class. I loved my bread class. Mm-hmm. So I tend to be more of a nuts and bolts kind of baker.
Yeah.
That's more my thing, mm-hmm. and tarts and things. That
pies, too?
Pies. I love pies. Yeah. I love making pies.
Pies are easy, though. Pies are, I mean,
yeah, I find them easy.
No, not Laura's is
if
not really.
If you have
really,
a good pie dough,
yeah.
that's like 95% of your struggle there.
You know, we've talked about a lot of the specialties with our chefs. Laura's got a couple of specialties that she mentioned on and off. I mean, so when somebody comes up to Home Plate Advantage, you know, you can, as you said, just like my chef Laura, you basically make anything. Now, as we're getting into fall, starting tomorrow, are there fall specialties that Home Plate Advantage looks at down the line?
Well, I mean, you know, like all of us, when we work with our clients, we have to really work with our clients.
Yeah.
So it doesn't really matter what I want to make, because a lot of times that's not always what my client wants. However, when I do my menus, and I think we all do this, is I tend to, and it's almost automatic, like it's not a conscious thought to do it. My brain shifts into what's seasonal and what's growing now and what are the flavors that make sense. So I am making that transition from the zucchini and the tomatoes and the corn and all that good stuff we had over the summertime and starting to think about the winter squashes and some of the warmer spices and those types of dishes. For me, if it's just me cooking and you say, make whatever you want for your dinner, I tend to like big flavors. I like international flavors. I like a lot of spice, not spicy specifically, but just flavor. Like I like, you know, really interesting, complex layers of flavor, texture, those types of things. I will do very simple dishes. I don't love them. And yet they can be very good.
But you also like about the veggie.
I mean, I'm a huge veggie person anyway, even regardless. I was vegetarian, you know, vegan for a short time and then vegetarian for a long time now. But I don't know. It's like any meal, I think, can be enhanced with vegetables because there's so many flavors and textures and good things and color and all those things that are so important to plate up your dinners. Because you can cook chicken and put it in a dish, but plain chicken in a dish doesn't really look great. But you add some colorful vegetables, you know, some carrots, some purple potatoes, some squashes, some, you know, different things going on in the greens. It becomes a gorgeous plate suddenly, you know, and it's good for you.
It is. And as you guys know that, you know, every once in a while when I'm cooking at home, that I always like to pair colors, you know.
It's so important.
It is. Yeah. You just say, my wife likes that. Like, oh my God, you made this, you know, it's a red here, yellow, green, and always, you know, all like these different colors.
Absolutely.
Going into vegan and vegetarian and all these other things with, you know, people have different tastes now. Let me go back to Jan for a second. Basically, stocks a lot of other. I mean, you have a lot of kitchen gadgets and stuff. What are those things that you have in there that people can see out there and purchase? You know, I know as Laura just mentioned, a lot of the vegan things or vegetarian gifts as well. Also, a gift certificate from Stock is not bad either. some of the other items that people may see when they walk into Stock.
Well, we kind of run the gamut, we really do. So when we were, you know, when Norbert called me yesterday about this appearance, I mean, I gathered up some of our oddities, but, you know, I would not say this is only representative of what we carry in one respect, which is you'll notice, and I'm just realizing it as I pull it all out, it's wood and brass, it's glass, it's wood, it's stainless, it's, I think we have something in there that is fabric. and stone. We don't do a ton of plastic and silicone. We don't do a ton of stuff that's meant to just be used once and thrown away. So in that way, this is representative, but really, we just have a ton of practical stuff, too. You know, we just have, we have pots and pans.
Yeah.
We have skillets that we love. We sell a skillet from Moviel, which is a French company called M Steel, which is carbon steel. We're big fans of carbon steel because then you don't need to have a nonstick surface. Mm-hmm. The carbon steel takes a seasoning. That's one of our biggest sellers. We have to explain it to every customer who comes in, but we've converted a lot of people off of stainless, nonstick and into carbon steel. We sell a lot of knives. Going back to my Chef Lara's knife skills class, which are fabulous. I mean, I absolutely cannot recommend these highly enough because Norbert and the team will take you through the basic cuts, how to grip the knife, how to have a Band-Aid handy, one of Norbert's favorite themes. And so, you know, we sell a lot of Wusthof, which Norbert approves of and what he actually uses. And we also sell a lot of Japanese knives because we have Johnson & Wales in town and we have a lot of very accomplished chefs. Yeah. And Japanese knives have been the thing lately. So we are, again, we're the only licensed reseller of Korean knives, which to people who follow knives, that means something.
Mm-hmm. And you sharpen the knives too.
And we do. We have a sharpener on site once a week, which is great. And we only sharpen on stones. We don't have a wheel. We don't have a pull-through blade. We sharpen on stones by hand. So, you know, fundamental stuff, fermentation crocks, a lot of tabletop, a lot of stuff to serve in, and a lot of locally and regionally produced product, a lot of wood cutting boards, presentation boards, ceramics, espresso cups. So it's kind of all over the place. It isn't, and it can't be. Year one in everything shop.
Right.
But we get awfully close to kind of having that cherry pitter when you need it, as well as your 20-gallon Le Creuset stock pot.
When you had mentioned the knife skills, and I know we mentioned this before with Norbert, one thing that I remember, and I'm sure you know you remember this, the old famous Ginsu knives. You know,
sure.
Those, I think a company out of Rhode Island, Prime Media, actually was the main the people who put that together down in Warwick. Are those still around at all?
You know, it's funny you say that. I worked with him. What was his name? Ed?
Ed.
I worked with him when I was in public relations, and he was a character.
Ed Valenti.
Yeah, exactly. He was a character. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they're still producing, to be honest, but boy, they sure changed the landscape of, you know, kind of late night advertising.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I was doing some production with him back in the early 90s, which still waiting for that check, Ed. I did some pieces down in his Warwick location down near the courthouse there, the Kent County Courthouse, and did some video, some close-up shots of him doing this and that. And he says, oh, yeah. And he came to the Attleboro studio where I was working for Comcast. And it's been a long time now. He says, oh, we'll give you that check. Yeah, it's been something like 25 years. I haven't seen it. But, you know, but it was fun, though, because, you know, Eddie was one of those guys that was kind of in the forefront of all those items on television.
Absolutely. And, you know, he wrote a book. I think it's called But Wait, There's More.
Yeah, exactly.
I believe what it's called. So as far as your check goes, but wait.
Yeah, but
there's
wait.
More.
Just keep waiting. But wait, but keep waiting. One thing that the chefs have always talked about, especially with the knife skills, you really need that professional sharp knife when you're using it. I know, Norbert, you've used many of them in the past, and you've showed me how to use them the correct way, and you told me where to purchase the knives as well. It does take a little bit of skill because you guys are getting it done by professionals at stock. You're getting them bought by them.
Yes, and every skill is also different, a little bit of the depending on the knife you are using.
Yeah.
We have our knife skills class geared towards the 8-inch chef's knife, which gives you a certain rolling cut versus the chop cut with more of the Japanese knives with the cleavers, and yes, you're correct. It is a certain technique you have to master. It's like playing golf.
Yeah. Yeah, and you're not using the old, remember, and Jan would know this, the old Vegematic. The old Vegematic taste.
No, it is, you're getting better with every single pepper you slice, with every single tomato, and you feel the differences. You feel the differences, and you get faster, and you get safer. Safer, very, very important. And sometimes you cut yourself, yes,
that's
you
where do. That's where the Band-Aids come in.
That's where the Band-Aid comes in.
I have two questions.
Oh, my God.
Hello, folks.
Hello. Hi.
By the way, driving in outstanding descriptions of the kitchen tools. Seriously, I could imagine them all in my head. Very good. But alleged culinary experts, can you tell me who Archibald Query is?
Is this a query?
This is a query about this whom is, a query. Is Archibald Query of Somerville, Massachusetts. He's no longer with us. May he rest in peace.
Was he the fluff guy?
Yeah. Bingo! There it is! 50 that, points and a chance
to vote. I moved here from Somerville about 3 years ago.
There
so
it is!
The Fluff Fest happens every year in Union Square, which is right near where I used to live.
Nearly 100 years later, we're still stuck on fluff. Back in 1917, confectioner Archibald Query invented a special recipe for a marshmallow cream.
Wow.
Which came to be marshmallow fluff. Outstanding. You are by far the most qualified culinary.
Amy has a good her background is a lot of baking and stuff, so
excellent.
She knows a lot of that.
I can't claim to have used fluff in baking, but I have
a little bit messy and sticky
sandwiches of fluff many times. Yes.
Your credibility is, if it was ever questioned, your credibility is restored. Well done.
I appreciate that very much. Thank you.
Well, what's wrong with the other three of you?
Give him this here.
Yes.
What? Hey.
Yes. Norbert, I have a question for you.
No. Wait. Oh. We have a kitchen gadget here, as you can see. That's a kitchen gadget.
Okay. Wow.
It's not a Tibetan praying mill.
It's very beautiful, too.
It's very, very beautiful. It is approximately a foot long, and it starts at the bottom very thin, and it is made of wood, and it is, some rings are on there, and they are shaped like cones.
Is that a Cherokee war club?
Nope, keep going.
Hey, come on.
Dominic.
It's good. Do you put an item on top of it? And I don't think like a mushroom peeler or was it that way? Is
a
it
mushroom
upside down?
It's that way.
Oh, is it like a whisk kind of thing?
Getting close.
Ooh.
Getting close.
It's almost like a hand blender.
There it is. Okay, you need two hands to operate it.
So Norbert is rubbing it between his palms, creating a back and forth whisking motion where all the rings kind of, spiral around.
Yeah.
It's intricately carved. It's beautiful. It's from Mexico. And it's called, Norbert, let's hear Mexican by way of German.
I cannot tell you what this is called in Mexican.
It's called a molinillo.
Molinillo.
And they are used for hot chocolate.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly. You use kind of a stone ground chocolate in a, there's actually a vessel for it. And you do what he just did with some milk and that froths all the chocolate around.
So I want to see if Paul knows what this, we already talked about it before.
Back to that for a second. If you're lost in the woods, can you start a fire with that?
The best kitchen tools are multifunction. Yes.
There it is. And ask MacGyver.
Mm-hmm. Ah, there it is.
Yeah.
Yes. I have one other quick question I've got to get to, then I'll get out of your way. Norbert, I'm in another play with the Milton players, Lie, Cheat, and Genuflect. I've got the lying and the cheating down perfectly. The genuflecting is a problem with my knees. My character is attorney Robert Freiberger, and he has a German accent. So since Meryl Streep isn't available, I wanted to hire you as a vocal coach for this role. Can I count on you?
I'm always trying to explain people my accent is from Southern Rhode Island.
Via Germany.
All right. Yeah. Well, I'll be in contact with your agent. We can work something out.
Outstanding.
Go get him.
All right, Paul. Paul Healy, who will be coming your way in about 15 minutes from now on Pontificating with Paul. When you said that, what was that item that you used again? A
Molinillo.
Molinillo. Okay. And Laura, you actually said it correctly.
For the hot chocolate.
With the hot chocolate as well.
Mexican hot chocolate. I just like, I was like, I know what it is. I know what it is. I know what it is. Give me a country. Give me a right. Yes. Sometimes there's too much up there.
I think we may have a caller on the phone lines. Well, where else would the person be? Good morning.
Calling me.
Yes. Oh, it's meteorologist Jim Corbin. Almost forgot about you, Jim.
That's all right. I've enjoyed the conversation. By the way, I'll be very quick. I have a quick question. I've seen in the last few months, it's like a thing that cuts like vegetables, but it's like a pair of scissors. Is that something new? It's like flat on the bottom part is flat. The top part, you push down like you hear a pair of scissors, and it cuts through things. What are those things? Are those things been around a while?
I can take this.
They're trying to figure out who's going to ask Janet that has it.
It's like you cut food with it, or like apples or whatever, and it just cuts right through very easily. But it's like it's a pair of scissors. The bottom is like a flat plate or something, and then the top cuts down on the food. You know what that is?
Boy. Not with that. I mean, you know, words that come to mind, I thought maybe you're going to go with a spiralizer or herb scissors or a mandolin, but I'm not. It's not, nothing's coming to mind with what you're describing.
It's like on, the, you know, it's like that guy you mentioned, the Ginsu knife. It's like on, you know, on TV, you know, like a specialty kind of item. So I don't have one, but, you know, I'm wondering if that's just a remake of what is still something else that's out there now.
This panel
things,
is
but
stumped.
It's like a pair of scissors.
I think you stumped them, Jim.
Really? Okay. Well, maybe I'll go online and look about, and then maybe the next time you're on next month, I'll describe what the name of it is, but it cuts through food very easily, unless it's a, you know, it's a gimmick thing. But I've seen it the last 2 months. They advertise it on television. Anyway,
yeah, what you might want to do is email me a picture or email them info@mychef.lara.com. You can get more information on that way.
All right, I'll do that. I'll be very quick again. We've got temperatures now. Room temperature up around 68, 69 degrees right now. We're going to head for about 82 this afternoon, a lot of sunshine. You might have noticed still a little humid this morning, but it'll noticeably dry out this afternoon. Clear, 50s tonight by morning. And then tomorrow, beautiful day again. Got to love the month of September. Mostly sunny, high temperatures in the low 80s. Sunshine followed by clouds late. I think our window of opportunity for rain coming up is late Friday afternoon through much of Friday evening. That's a cold front, and this time it really means business. After getting into the low to mid 80s on Friday, we're only going to reach the mid-60s on Saturday and in the 40s Saturday night, Sunday morning, and just barely 60 on Sunday. And cool weather continues into Monday of next week. So we have three straight fairly cool days, certainly with the arrival of fall officially on the calendar tomorrow at 10:21 a.m. It's not going to be summer. I should say it won't be fall tomorrow afternoon, but it's going to really feel like it's Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, and then it's got to start to warm up a bit next week.
All right. Well, we'll figure out what that item is if you want to let them know about it at some point.
All right. Thanks a lot. Talk to you tomorrow.
Thanks once again. All right. It is 8:48 coming your way, and we do have some other items that we need to go through today. We got a few of them. I know there's interesting-looking items that some of them may be very familiar. Let's take a look at that one first, the one that you've got there, Norbert.
This one?
Yeah.
This is a like on a out of a toolmaker's box, and there are metal rings of different diameters.
And it's not a slinky.
It is not a slinky, but it looks like a slinky, and it sounds like a slinky.
Yeah. Well, it goes
and
up and
it
down
is
the stairs.
In a metal box, and they are all in there.
Sure, hope not.
And they will come in season shortly.
So when you opened it up, I actually when you had it open, I thought it was some sort of a burner, like a Bunsen burner thing.
Yeah, it's not a Bunsen burner. What do you think? What it is?
Something to shape items. Shape things.
Yeah, something to shape. When I take it apart, it might be more obvious. Okay, let's say this.
Oh, okay. You can make, put it in cookies or...
those are cookie cutters. Those are cookie cutters.
Biscuit cutters.
All different sizes biscuit from as little as 3/4 of an inch.
Almost like that small one looks almost like a thimble.
2-4 inches. Yeah. And I'm not good in inches. I'm better in millimeters. But those are cookie cutters. Okay. Round, all round.
Yeah, round cookie cutters.
So I brought something that I don't want to give away, but okay. I'm going to hold it up for these guys. Who knows what this is?
That looks like it's almost like a cutter as well, some sort cookie of a cutter in pastry or in dough.
Yes, cutter. It is definitely a cookie cutter. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of those in a lot of different shapes, but who wants to venture what shape that is?
Oh, that's a state.
State of Rhode Island.
That's Rhode Island. There you go. Of course, I realize we're in Massachusetts now. I should have brought Massachusetts, which would have been very easy to figure out.
That's cool, yeah.
That's Rhode Island.
The Rhode Island cookie cutter.
There you go.
They have them.
They do. They have them all for all 50 states or just a few of them?
They have them for all 50. I carry Rhode Island and Massachusetts, although I recently got a request for Connecticut. I don't know why I shouldn't show them love, too.
Mm. There you go. That's probably, being in Rhode Island, that's got to be the most popular one anyways. You can make Rhode Island cookies out of that.
Yeah.
But the cookies are all the same size. Yes. So Massachusetts cookies are not larger than Rhode Island cookies.
Right, exactly.
I just want to mention that.
Okay.
Actually, they're smaller, the way they're rendered.
That's right. Aha! Yes, aha! There you go. That's 2 points for Jan. There you go.
Wow.
All right. So what else do we have here now? All right. I see. All right. Amy's got some other.
This to me seemed obvious, but Jan just told me that a lot of people don't know what this is.
Oh, I've seen that item. It
has a handle on one side, and it's basically just a flat rectangular piece of metal.
Yeah.
With a handle on
one side. I've seen that. You can use it to cut different things, whatever, on a flat surface. I've seen other professionals like caterers use those in the past.
Right.
At certain times. You can actually one of the items you can actually clean off the stuff on the surface basically.
Scraper.
Yeah, a scraper. There you go.
Rather than taking your knife.
Exactly. You don't want to do that. That's exactly.
And in pastry classes we would call this a pastry cutter.
Okay, yeah.
But it's it also can separate loaves of dough, like when you're working with dough, mm-hmm. you can separate them into, you make a big something that would yield like 10 loaves of bread, and you would use this to cut because it'll cut right through the dough without like puncturing the nice, fluffiness of this guy.
Out of, it goes that word again, fluffiness.
After you let it rise, you don't want to punch through all of the air you just put in this wonderful, and it actually just kind of gets in there.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a nice tool.
It is, yeah. All right, what else do we have now? We got some other ones. I think Jan's got one.
So Norbert and I did not coordinate on this at all. I literally was just grabbing stuff out the door, and yet, hilariously, we brought something that's kind of complimentary. So I, for the second time, we both brought cookie cutters, and I am holding my hand with something that is very manifestly obvious what it is. Am I right?
Yes.
Everybody can identify this?
Yeah.
It's an oyster shell. It is just... Yeah. 100% a glistening gold-toned bronze oyster shell. But, and here's why we get to carry it, it's a bottle opener. And it's a really handy, functional, awesome bottle opener. And it's made by a kid who went to RISD. His name is Andrew Mao. And they're produced in the jewelry district in Providence. And they are cast bronze, and they're gorgeous. And it is one of the kinds of things that we get the most delight in carrying. I mean, this is a guy who, is a very talented designer who's chosen to stay local to make his products in the U.S. that are functional and beautiful. This is like the kind of thing that warms my heart.
I like the way she said that.
And then hilariously, Norbert brought...
What is this thing now? Okay.
This is red.
Okay. It's
has
it's
a, like... Very, very sturdy handle,
mm-hmm.
has a blade which is sticking out of that red thing. The blade is shaped in a particular way.
And does
first
not cut.
Straight and then slightly angled at the end. And this is what?
And mind you, it's a blade that doesn't cut.
Oh, yeah, the blade doesn't cut.
It doesn't cut.
No, it does. It does cut... As a second function.
Wow.
Huh.
So what do you think is that used for? And now I give you a hint.
It's got, oh,
it has something.
Yeah, I was going to say it opens up the oysters. It's a shucker. Oh.
It is an oyster knife. Yes, yeah. It's an oyster chucker. And the difficulty with chucking oysters is first to find the spot uh-huh. on the oyster.
To open them up.
And then not to wiggle it too hard, because if you wiggle it too hard, the oyster will crack. Uh-huh. If you wiggle it too soft, you will not open it. And then the second is, after you have opened it, you take that knife, go into the oyster, and then you shear off the muscle in the inside of the oyster. That is where I say it is a blade as a second function.
True.
Is not only a wedge, but it is also going into,
yeah.
and then shear off the inside. And I it takes me approximately... I want to say a minute to open up an oyster, to find the right spot and then open up and do it, which is, it's pretty okay mm-hmm. to do it without hurting yourself. That's I have to say, without yeah. hurting yourself. But I had on soup night a couple of years ago, I had a young woman there and she helped and she said she could do 500 oysters in an hour.
Wow.
Holy mackerel.
So that's the one class I teach. That it is, literally. It's the one. It's the only class at Stock that I teach. It's oyster
yeah.
shucking.
How was my description?
Really good. The only thing I would say about that one, that's Victorinox. So it's Swiss made, and it has the bent tip. It's called the New Haven tip, and it helps you get into the hinge, which otherwise was perfect. You nailed it. But that's a stainless one, which is good. But yeah, oyster shucking is a talent that I feel everybody in New England should have.
Mm-hmm.
So learn how to shuck an oyster.
That
already.
Is right. And it is red. My chef Lara red.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. That is why I took it right away.
Otherwise, for other classes, I turn to these guys. I gotta say, shucking I can do all day. Knife skills, you gotta go to my chef Lara.
We only got like a couple more minutes left. As we got into, are we done with all the?
Oh, we have more, but we have also more.
Okay.
Often we come here, right?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, because
mm-hmm. we always bring some more.
Yeah, exactly. And we always love that.
Or ask the listeners to come up with some.
That would
funny
be a good
pictures.
Idea. If anybody's got any ideas, for any of these gadgets, you can email me at Dominic, Domenic at wareradio.com, or just go to mychef.lara.com, or just go to stockculinarygoods.com as well for more information, or you can go to homeplateadv.com for more information on Laura. Chef Laura's organization as well, or company, I should say. Yes, so basically, as we start wrapping things up, first of all, I want to thank everybody for coming in. Once again, because Jan is here for the first time, tell people once again where you guys are located and how people can get in touch with you. And, I know that you're up on the east side, but tell us, phone number, email,
sure,
all that
thanks.
Stuff.
Thanks so much for having me. This was really fun.
It
I
was.
Definitely want to say thank everybody who's here, including my chef, Lara, who has been so helpful with us and is really a class organization. So thanks, guys, for having me. And you too, Dominic. We're at 756 Hope Street near Rochambeau. So that's mm-hmm. kind of the northern end of that little Hope Street strip. We are very active on social media. I'm not good at maintaining a blog or my website, but my social media game is strong. So you can find me on Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook at StockPVD. PVD, of course, is Providence, mm-hmm. Peter Victor Daniel. And we are, our phone number is 401-521-0101. Feel free to call anytime.
And the hours, I bet you
10 to 6 every day.
Every single day.
Yeah, every single day.
And these guys are usually there.
They come about once a month.
On a Tuesday night?
It shifts.
The next one is on October 6th.
Okay.
October 6th.
Okay.
At Stock.
All right. So that's the place to be if you want to see them in person or go get your items, your new kitchen items. And as I said, gift certificates always make a great gift, not just from Stock, but also from My Chef Lara and Home Plate Advantage as well, right? There you go.
Sure.
Well, thank you, ladies, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thank you.